listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. We're joined once again by Dr. Paul Miller, a man who I've come to know and admire for his work at not only the University of Texas at Austin, where he is the Associate Director of the Clements Center for History, Strategy, and Statecraft, but also for his time at the National Security Council back in the late Bush years. He is a man who has also served our government in the Central Intelligence Agency's Office of South Asian Analysis. He's the author of numerous books and articles, including Armed State Building, and most recently an article that prompted us to want to talk with him rather urgently, entitled Nuclear Weapons and the Gospel, which appears in The City, the publication of Houston Baptist University. Dr. Miller, welcome back. It's very good to have you with us, sir.
Thank you for having me on your show.
I'm fascinated by what you've done with this essay in The City. It talks basically about, well, I guess a moral case for having and perhaps even, if necessary, using nuclear weapons. Talk about your thesis.
Well, for many years, people have advocated for abolishing nuclear weapons, and I can understand why. They are terrible weapons, very powerful. But all weapons are. And so the question that I asked is, why would we seek to abolish nuclear weapons and not all other weapons? It seems to be the most consistent position here is that of a pacifist who advocates getting rid of all weapons. Nuclear weapons are tools, and I sought to think carefully about if and when those tools could ever be used in a morally defensible way. And I argue that tactical nuclear weapons are morally defensible. Those are smaller nuclear weapons that we can use in a way that meets the criteria of proportionality and discrimination. In other words, we can use a small nuclear weapon in a way that discriminates between combatants and civilians and that do the minimum necessary damage to accomplish whatever military aim we're after. By contrast, strategic nuclear weapons are much larger, and they really fit only for one thing, and that is to destroy cities, which I think is not morally defensible.
We're visiting with Dr. Paul Miller. He is the Associate Director of the Clements Center for History, Strategy, and Statecraft at the University of Texas. He has spent a considerable amount of his career in government service, though, and has been thinking long and hard about, among other things, nuclear deterrence. And maybe we could just pick up on this idea, Dr. Miller. You have opened your article in The City by reminding us that President Obama's goal has long been to rid the world of all nuclear weapons. And while you've, I think, quite properly suggested that may not be advisable as long as there are all kinds of other weapons still around, what do you make specifically of this idea and its prospects for achievement?
Well, I don't think it's going to be achieved anytime soon. The Global Zero Movement, as it's called, again, has advocated for getting rid of all nuclear weapons in the world, which is great so long as everyone else goes first. No one wants to be the first state to disarm themselves unilaterally of nuclear weapons. So long as Russia, China, and others have nuclear weapons, it seems prudent and necessary to hold on to some ourselves as a measure of defense. Nuclear weapons are, in fact, defensive weapons in a sense that they are the kind of ultimate veto power against somebody else launching aggression against us. So there is some prudence there.
But I must say, I think that if one were to look closely at what President Obama has been doing, between the obvious things, the deal with Vladimir Putin to reduce the numbers of nuclear weapons that we have, but more importantly, the steps that have been taken, as you know, Dr. Miller, both under his administration and to some extent previous ones, that have resulted in the failure to modernize our existing arsenal and to even maintain the kind of infrastructure that's required to support it. I wonder if, as a practical matter, we're not actually going first. We're ridding the world of nuclear weapons, starting with ours. Is that a concern to you?
Well, since the end of the Cold War, the United States has gradually shifted many of its nuclear warheads from sort of active deployment into sort of storage. And so we're reducing the number of nuclear weapons that we have ready for immediate use gradually transition. Nuclear weapons are expensive. They're expensive to maintain. They're expensive to keep on station. And it's much cheaper to keep them in storage. And then gradually, I think we've even been taking some of the weapons in storage and decommissioning them entirely. That's in line with our arms control agreements. It does save money. We still have several thousand, I think the number is about 2,500 nuclear weapons on active duty. They're ready to go, which is much less than during the Cold War, but it's still the second largest arsenal in the world after Russia. So, yes, we have been reducing. I think we've reduced our stockpile by about three quarters, if the numbers are right. And Russia has also reduced its stockpile, not by quite the same amount. By contrast, China, Pakistan have been increasing their nuclear arsenals. They're much smaller, a couple of hundred weapons, we think, but they've actually been going up as ours have been going down.
Well, China seems to have been going up quite dramatically, is my guess, given what we've seen in terms of the investment they're making in tunnels and road mobile systems and new submarines. But I do wonder what you've said may be true, and I think there may be some quibbling about the numbers, but the concern I have had for some time, going back to when I was in the Pentagon, Paul, is the degree to which it's not just a question of numbers or even whether these systems are mated onto delivery systems, but their deterrent quality depends critically on whether the enemy thinks they will work, whether they are likely to be used or considered by us to be usable. And I'm concerned that that's something we're further and further away from. Let me just ask you specifically, because you've made the argument that strategic nuclear weapons are undiscriminating and so devastating that they may well not be, usable or moral. One argument that has long been made by those of us who believe that it is an important weapon of diplomacy, or for that matter, if necessary, military use, is that we ought to make them as discriminating and as lethal to the specific target as possible without having undesirable collateral effects. And yet that's something that has not come along with any kind of modernization program, because we've foregone that. As you look at these other arsenals, the Russians, the Chinese, the Iranians, perhaps in the future, the North Koreans, the Indians, and so on, does it not argue in your judgment for maintaining those deterrent forces, but making them indeed as effective and credible as deterrents as we can?
Absolutely. I'm quite strongly in favor of sustaining, as I said, tactical nuclear weapons, and in favor of continuing to research and develop better, more accurate, more precise weapons that can accomplish a specific military objective with minimum collateral damage, minimum fallout. That would make these weapons far more usable. And as they become more usable, they become more credible as a deterrent. One of my concerns with strategic nuclear weapons, the ones that are so big that all they do is blow up cities, is I think somebody might look at the United States and say, the U.S. is simply never going to use these things. And so I don't have to worry. I don't have to fear the U.S. nuclear arsenal because they're simply unusable weapons. You know, that might actually be something the reverse is not true. I actually would fear that Russia or China might actually use these weapons in war because they are not hindered by the same considerations that we are, with the value of human life. And so because of our commitment to the human dignity, you know, our ability to use these strategic nuclear weapons is limited, I think rightly so. But that means we actually kind of need better, more precise, more targetable, more discriminating weapons if we want to have a credible nuclear deterrent. And that does mean more research, more development, more modernization.
I couldn't agree more. And I appreciate so much, Dr. Paul Miller, you making the moral case for this as well as the strategic one. And for your service to our country, past, present, and continuing, check out his article in The City, Houston Baptist University, entitled Nuclear Weapons and the Gospel, Christianity and Nukes. Dr. Miller, again, thank you. We'll talk with you again soon, I hope. Next up, we'll talk with Bill Gertz of the Washington Times and the Washington Free Beacon about whose nuclear weapons we better be worrying about. That and more straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.